Father, we thank you for another time of fellowship together to God be the glory. Thank you, Lord, because you are worthy. Receive honor, glory, and praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. All that is in the heaven and in the earth and indeed anywhere else, it's all thine. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, Lord. And thou reignest over all. And in thy hand it is as power. Power to save. Power to heal. Power to deliver. Power to make great. It's all in your hands. Now therefore, O Lord, we thank you. And we praise your glorious name. Hallelujah. Now, we declare that the entrance of God's word brings light, gives us understanding even this morning. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, today I want to continue on the Kingdom series review, which I started yesterday, talking about the King, His Kingdom, and the Church. I'll be asking some questions and also providing the answers. So the way I'm doing it is the questions kind of give us a way into the review, okay? We were covering, there were three, lessons that we gave. You know, we talked about understanding the message of gospel of the kingdom, you know, and, we talked about the kingdom of God, you know, and the church. We've talked about, you know, the similarities and differences. We also talked about citizenship and ambassadorship in the kingdom. And from those three lessons, I'm going to be asking questions and also providing the answers. But I do want you to take notes. That's the structure of today's room. I will speak through this by way of review and answering the questions. You know, trying to cover the key points that we discussed throughout this series. It's so important. I'm going to pick up from where we left off yesterday. It's about the King, His Kingdom, and the Church. Well, you know, at first it appeared that it was about the King and Israel. That's what it appeared like at first, you know. But if we fast forward to Hebrews chapter 12, we see that now we're not just talking about national Israel or natural Israel. We're talking about a spiritual Israel. You know, so God knew what he was doing. You know, that is not first, that is spiritual, but that which is natural. So the natural first, like Adam was a natural man, and then the spiritual man, the second Adam from heaven. Well, the nation of Israel being initially the natural choice, God chose them out of all the nations. And he said, look, I did not choose you, you know, because you were the largest or the strongest, you know, but in fact, he said, well, you were the smallest of these nations, you know, but God said, I chose you anyway. And he was going to use Israel to represent something that was in his mind. We didn't know it, but later on we saw through the Gospels and some of the writings of Paul, like in Romans, he was talking about it's not all Israel, that is Israel and so forth. And God had a calling that was beyond the natural. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, you know, verse 7, the Lord said the choice that he made. And we talked about that choice so many times. You know, the invitation and that he gave to them in Exodus 19, you know, telling them, choosing you to be a peculiar people. One requirement that he put out was that you must obey my voice. If you obey my voice, he said, well, then, you see, that was his choice. He could have chosen any group that he wanted, but that was what he chose. Yeah. So therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you'll be a peculiar treasure unto me. You know, so you'll be a peculiar treasure. Treasure. So he chose them that way. And of course, we know that they didn't exactly always obey his voice. And then he told them, you know, when he gave, that was promise they had given to Abraham and so forth. And they carry that through. And here's what, let's read Deuteronomy 7 and 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. What he said, for as a matter of fact, you are the fewest of people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn to your fathers, so had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, the Lord said unto him, thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. You know, from verse 6, you know, the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. That was his choice. He did that. That was nothing, you know, anybody could say about that. It wasn't something that they did, you know. It was a blessing of Abraham. It pleased God to choose and find something in Abraham. Remember the story in Genesis 11. And the earth at that time, people were getting together and trying to build a tower to heaven, to make a name to themselves. God wanted them to actually, you know, increase and replenish the earth, that's whole face of the earth. But they wanted to be in this one place, and they wanted to build their tower to heaven and so on. God said no. And they wanted to make a name for themselves. God said no. But in Genesis 12, the next chapter, God handpicked Abraham. His name at that time was Abraham. Not because Abraham was trying to be anything. In fact, he wasn't trying to be anything. This is the way that God chooses. He chooses whom he wants. Now, of course, he knows everybody in and out. Even what you've not done, he already knows. And he knows who's going to, you know, love the Lord, who's going to serve the Lord and so forth, you know. And so the Lord said to him, I've chosen you to get out of your country, out of your father's house, and I'll give you a land, and I will make, listen to what God said to Abraham, Abraham in Genesis 12 verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation. He wasn't trying to be great like the people in the previous chapter. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. Greatness is from the Lord. In thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. David realized it and he prayed it. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curseth you, and in thee shall all. Now that's all, not just, you know, Israel or somebody. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, God put it out there, you know, and so, you know, over time, we see that the Lord, even when he came, although he gave the children of Israel the right of first refusal, if you can call it that, And he said, well, I am sent, first of all, to the house of Israel. Told even his disciples, when you go, don't go into the, you know, house of the cities or cities of the Gentiles. Don't go in their way. Go only to the house of Israel. He had to fulfill that, you know, because Jesus himself told the parable. You know, one of the parables of the kingdom he told, he said, well, a father had two sons, and he came to the first son and said, son, go walk in my field today. And the young man said, I'm not going. He flat out refused. That refusal was what caused the father to turn to the second son. Now, perhaps if the first one had said, I'm going, maybe he would have said, well, I only need one person to go there and do something today. So he would have probably not bothered himself, you know, to ask the second. But because the first one said, I am not going, then he turned to the second and said, son, go work in my field today. And the second one said, right away, sir. But he didn't go. And then later, the one that said, I wasn't going, he actually repented and went. You know, and Jesus asked them, well, which of these two sons do you think did the father's will? You know, and then, of course, they gave the right answer. Yeah? Jesus just had a reason for telling that story. So the two sons, the first son representing Israel, the natural Israel, yeah, the one that God gave the first choice to. And this, by the way, this parable is in Matthew 21. You can find it in verses 28 to 32. So, Israel was our first son. Well, that didn't quite work out, because at first, you know, even John captured it in John chapter 1. They rejected him. He said he came to his own, and his own rejected him. But as many as received him, gave them power to become the sons of God. So when he initially came to his own, they rejected him. And God had a plan to do it exactly like that. And, you know, so, but he told them in John chapter 10 and verse 16, I'm setting a background for all of this, why we're talking about the church, you know, in connection with the king and his kingdom. So, in John chapter 10, verse 16, he told them, that's a famous verse. He said, well, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Which fold? Well, Israel. Which other sheep? Well, the non-Israel, the Gentiles. Other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Because in his mind, you got to do it. I must bring them, and they will come together into one fold, and there will be one shepherd. You know, so it was all in his plans. He knew exactly what he was doing. And, but at first he had to do it the way, you know, the father wanted it. He chose Israel first. So he gave him, you know, first choice and brought everybody else in. Praise God. You know, so we also who were not in the lineage of natural, Israel, we have been brought in spiritually, you know, through Christ and what Christ did. Praise God. Now, the Lord knew this. So in Isaiah 49, verse 6, I love Isaiah, all these prophecies and so forth. The Lord said concerning the Lord. The Lord God said concerning his Christ. He said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. That's Israel. That's a small thing. And why limit you to Israel? You know, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Everybody should learn this verse. Isaiah 49 and verse 6. This was God, but he had in mind. He knew it too. Jesus knew it. You know, but the Lord said, look, yeah, you're sent to Israel. Well, Israel is not enough. I got to get everybody. it would be a small thing just to you to restore Israel. So he needed to restore Israel. He knew that. That's what Jesus said. I'm sent to go and find Israel. Bring them in. That's this Isaiah 49. You know, restored the preserved of Israel. A remnant. Scriptures are consistent in all these teachings. But I don't want to get too deep into that. But he said, I will give thee a light to be the Gentiles. Light for the Gentiles as well. So you can be my salvation, not only to Jews, but also to Gentiles. And that's where the church comes into play. The church is this mixture of whether Jews, Greeks, Gentiles, doesn't matter. As long as they've been born again and they are now in the kingdom together, some natural Israel, you know, will have and inherit God's promise, not promise of, you know, the new birth like that, you know, just because they are the remnant. It's called the preserved of Israel, the remnant. It said, the children of Israel be like the sands of the sea, yet a remnant shall be saved. And it's a preserved, there's a group that God has called out of them. And then he filled in the gap with the Gentiles. You know, so it was in God's plan. Now the group that's called the church, just like Israel was a peculiar treasure that God said, I chose you not because of being so big or whatever. I set my love upon you. No, I chose you. They called out once, a peculiar treasure. Well, the church is also called out once, a peculiar treasure. 1 Peter 2:9. So that's the relation, man. The church has its own bearings too of what God had in mind. So I'm connecting the title, the King, the Kingdom, and the Church. But let's get back to, now that I've connected the title, let me get back to the lesson proper. What we're doing in this review, like I said, I'll be asking questions around the key points that were taught throughout the series. And then also providing answers. So if you take notes, then you will know, you know, how to answer these same questions yourself, should somebody ask. Now, yesterday we covered, the first question was, who is the King of the Kingdom of Heaven? We talked about that. We talked about what the kingdom means. You know, the king who has no domain is not a king. He must have a territory over which he asserts his authority and his influence. It's called his kingdom or king's domain. Now, every kingdom has a king. We talked about that. In this kingdom that we're talking about, the Lord is king. Isaiah 33:22, Isaiah 43:15, and Zechariah 9:9. Then question number two was, you know, how did Jesus become a king? Was he voted in or enthroned? Enthroned means when we came around, we found that he was already there. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, and he's also king. His goings forth have been from of old. Micah 5:2. The Lord, the Lord said to my Lord, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Psalm 2, verse 6, Jesus has been enthroned by God. You know, the Lord had prepared his throne in the heavens before there was the earth. You know, the throne had already been prepared in the heavens. And the heaven will be his throne. The earth will be his footstool. That was done before even the world began. It was already always in his mind. So we talked about that. It's an enthroned king. It was not voted by anybody. You know. Number three, we asked, how long will the king's reign last? Well, that kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Many scriptures that we gave on that. You know, his kingdom there shall be no end. Luke 1:33 references that. But Psalm 145 verse 13 talks about it. Our kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Daniel talked about it. Daniel 2:44. The kingdom that God will set up that will not be destroyed, etc. Also Daniel 7:27. Now, number four, we said, what authority does the king possess? Jesus said, all power. Be given to me, heaven and on earth. And he commissioned the church to act by the same. He said, well, you know, go forth because all power is given me. I'm sending you forth. You say, well, by what authority? You know, they used to ask Jesus, by what authority do you do these things? And Jesus said, well, I will also ask you. I love, you know, I pray sometimes, you know, I say, Lord, give me that kind of wisdom that Jesus had. Answer question with question. By what authority do you do these things? He said, well, I will also ask you a question. If you can tell me, then I will tell you. He said, well, the baptism of John, was it of men or of God? You know, so the people were thinking in their heart, well, my goodness, if we say it's of God, then he will say, well, if you knew it's of God, why then did you not believe him? And if we say it is of man, it's not of God, people take John as a prophet and they might stone us. So they say, well, we cannot tell. And Jesus said, well, neither tell I you. That's it right there. So, but his authority was given to him from his father. I said, this commandment I have received of my father, to have life in myself and to give it also to whomsoever the son will give it, also to lay down my life and take it up again. I received this commandment from God. And, you know, no man takes it from me. So it's authority given by God and it covers everything. And he gave the same authority also to his disciples. Praise God. All power given to me. He also gave power to his disciples. I give you power over all the power of the enemy and so on. Now, what was the king's mission on earth? This is where we spent a lot of time yesterday. Because this one was important, you know, very, very important, because sometimes we are so short-sighted on what we think Jesus came to do, you know, and the fact that Jesus went through the cross, that's so critical. Without the cross, he could not accomplish his real mission. The real mission was to deliver the kingdom back to God and the sons of God, which Adam lost. So, but he had to go through certain things to do it. He told his disciples that he met on the way to Emmaus. He told them in Luke chapter 24, he said, O ye fools, you know, don't you know that Christ ought to have suffered these things? And to get back that glory. You know, so these things that Christ suffered, they were a means to an end, not an end in themselves. The end in itself was for him to get that glory, enter into that glory, and deliver the kingdom back to the Father and bring in the sons of God to reign with him. That was all his plan. So what she said to Adam in the beginning, I'm giving you this, so dominate over everything. But he lost it. So Jesus would come to do that. You know, so, and he told the people, look, the way that I'm going to do it, I'm going to give my flesh as a ransom for the world. Of course, nobody understood what he was talking about. What is this man talking about? Does he want us to eat him? What do you mean? Why not cannibals like that? Jesus said, I am the living bread, John 6:51, that came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, shall live forever. Now, what we need to know is, are you eating of this bread? The living bread. You know. So, if you are eating of that living bread, Jesus said, you will live forever. That's a promise. In fact, that's a declaration. You know, he just said it. And that's it. You know, if you eat of this living bread, you will live forever. Now, that living bread, though, is the living bread. Not, you know, it doesn't have any leaven in it. It's not this mixed up stuff. No. It's a pure living bread. You know, I said, well, and the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. It's like a ransom. I had to pay that. He knew what he was doing. He wanted to get the life of the world back, and he had to pay his life to do it. You know, so all the things he suffered were like a means to an end, not an end in itself. The end in itself is declared in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we read it yesterday. Paul was arguing about the case for the resurrection, because some people say there is no resurrection of the dead. And so he was arguing these things. And here's what he said, verses 24 and 25 is where I'm going, you know. But first he laid a foundation. He said, well, Christ is risen from the dead, become the first fruits, and so on and so forth. So since by man came death, well, by man also came resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man his own order, and so on and so forth. In then verse 24 and 25, he put down this profound mystery, which is hardly ever spoken about. He said, then cometh the end. Well, what is the end? You know, if his death, resurrection, all that, is a means to something, Jesus said himself, don't you know that Christ has to suffer all these things in order to get somewhere? So whatever he suffered was not the somewhere, but it was in order to get to somewhere. Okay, so that's the means to an end. Okay, but what is the end? Well, here's the end right here. Then cometh the end. The end is declared right here. What is the end? When he shall have delivered up the kingdom. That's it. All these things that we read from Genesis, Revelation, it's about this thing. Christ to get that kingdom back. Leave it where he wanted and put it right back with the sons of God. Then the kingdom shall be given to the saints and the people of the saints of the Most High. And that kingdom will never end. Daniel chapter 7. And that's it. That's it. So that's why the kingdom, the message of the kingdom is so important. And we must understand it. The church, unfortunately, has not understood it. We understand a part of it, which is the message of the new birth. And that is so, so critical. There can be no kingdom without that new birth. Can be. You know, there can be no kingdom without the citizens. What kind of kingdom would that be? And in order for there to be any citizens in that kingdom, they must be born again. Jesus said at John chapter 3, verse 3 to 5, you must be born again for you to even see or enter into that kingdom. So no citizens will be in that kingdom if they are not born again. Well, they cannot be born again if Jesus didn't die for them. So you can see that all these things are tied together. But ultimately, it is for the re-establishment of the kingdom of God, which in the beginning, you know, when God created the heavens and earth, whose beginning? God's beginning? No, God has no beginning. But in the beginning of our minds reckoning, you know,
and say, okay, well, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, what was before the heavens or the earth?
God. What is after that? You know, I make a new heaven, I make a new earth. God can remake the heaven and earth at any time. And even the new one, he can redo it at any time. But he's always been God. From generation to generation, however there anything was, that had been God. Before the heavens were formed, you were God. Before the earth was formed, you were God. And you are still God, who was, who is, and who is to come. God Almighty. He will always be God. There will be no, you know, he cannot become anything new other than God. He's always been God. He always was, and he always will be. Psalm 90 says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever there has been anything formed in the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, thou has been God, and thou will be God. So, we established that yesterday. Now, I'm going to continue from there and try to cover all the remaining questions I have about this king. Then later we'll go to his kingdom. Then we'll talk about his church, the role that church is supposed to be playing in all of this. Now, here is the next question that I want to go to. This is question number 6 now. How does the king demonstrate his kingdom? Well, you know, how does he demonstrate his kingdom? Well, Jesus said in one place, Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, you know, and this is part of the message of embracing, you know, the message of the kingdom. He said, if I cast out devils, then the kingdom of God is come up to you. He also talked about, and in Luke 16 and 16, he talked about from the days of John the Baptist, you know, or actually he said the prophets and the law and the prophets were until John, right? And then from John, something else happened. So, you know, the demonstration of the kingdom, John was sent as a forerunner, and then he introduced Christ, and Christ came. And how did he demonstrate the kingdom? Well, he started to do these things which nobody else could do, like open the eyes of the blind. In fact, the one man that he opened the eyes of the blind, you know, who was blind in John chapter 9, when they were telling him that, you know, who is this man that opened your eyes on the Sabbath day? They even told the people, they said, look, you have several days in the week. Come and be healed on those. I mean, you can see the callousness of the hearts of the people. They didn't care. You know, they were so concerned about, so rigid about the law. You know, you cannot be, because if you are healed on the Sabbath day, you will have to carry your bed. And you can't carry your bed. If you are brought in on a stretcher and you are healed, and Jesus said, carry your bed. Now you are carrying your bed on the Sabbath day. He said, no, you can't carry your bed on the Sabbath day. Well, he that healed me told me to carry my bed. He said, who healed you? The man is a sinner. He does not follow the law of Moses. The man said, look, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. You know, and you say, this man is a sinner. I say, wow. You know, that's a wonderful thing that you guys say you don't know where he's from. Yet he has healed my eyes. And since the world began, it had never been heard that anyone healed the eyes of someone that was born blind. That's why I was teaching them. He said, will thou teach us that were altogether born in sin? Cast him out of there. Because they thought that his blindness was because he was born in sin. Everybody thought that. Even his disciples. Jesus' disciples asked him, this man, was it his sin or his praying sin? So I said, no. There's a purpose that God wanted to show in his healing. You know, but these people, you know, they said, look, you can't do it. So Jesus demonstrating his kingdom as different from, you know, the traditions of the elders. You know, he will heal the sick. He would have compassion and different things. And he would told his disciples, when you go, do these things, preach the kingdom. And then this is how you demonstrate it. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, you know, raise the dead, cast out devils. That's how you demonstrate. You know, so in the book of Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 to 8, he told them that.
you know, go and say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So they are introducing the kingdom. And these are the things you are going to do to introduce, as you are introducing that kingdom, you are telling about the kingdom, but do something to show what the kingdom will look like. So when you tell them the kingdom is coming, then heal their sick. When you tell them the kingdom is coming, cast out the devils that have been tormenting them. When you tell them the kingdom is here, you know, kingdom is here. Cleanse the lepers. You know, heal cancers. If Jesus was talking today, he'd be talking about cancers and all these things that are, you know, prevalent in the world today. Heal those things. Even raise the dead. Show them the power of the kingdom. That's how you demonstrate it. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. That's how you demonstrate it. How God anointed Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing. Yeah. All that were oppressed of the devil. That's how the king demonstrated his kingdom. And he also showed the people how to do it. Empower them. Go out and do the same things that you've been seeing me do. You go out and do the same thing. This is how you preach the kingdom. The message of the kingdom must be preached like that. So, I hope you are taking notes. But just to be sure, let me read it to you. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, just to be sure that you are actually taking notes. He said, you know, let me read it from, you know, say, verse 5. Jesus took these 12 people, sent them forth, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He had to do that first. He knew it. But he also knew that the Father already said, it is not enough. It's a light thing for you to just be salvation to Israel. I got to make you salvation to the ends of the earth. So he knew that. But he said, look, Israel first. And then other sheep I must bring in. So he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven has arrived. the kingdom of heaven has arrived, though. So, but demonstrate the kingdom. You know, demonstrate the kingdom by healing the sick. Remember, Paul said that the kingdom of God is not in word. It's not even in meat and drink. It's in demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power. So demonstrate the kingdom. Heal the sick. This is how you demonstrate the kingdom. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. And part of demonstrating the kingdom also is this kingdom is free. Don't charge people anything for it. Heal all these things you do. Don't charge anything. I give it to you freely. Give it out freely. That's right. That's why we preach the gospel of the kingdom free of charge. Gospel of the kingdom must be preached free of charge. That's right. That's how you demonstrate the kingdom. And the kingdom also will take care of your needs while you're doing that. He said, look, provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses. Don't be all these things and so forth. Don't need any of these things. Okay, the workman is worthy of his hire. The kingdom will take care of you. You know, we talk about ambassadors the other day. Well, you know, ambassador, the kingdom takes care of their ambassadors. You know, so. And he told them what to do. That's how you demonstrate the kingdom. So that's question number 6. Question number 7. What does the king require from his followers? Now, these questions were taken from these lessons. You know, embracing the message of the kingdom. In that lesson, we said, kingdom citizens do not negotiate with their king. You know, they submit to him. Well, so embracing that means that, you know, we do what the king asks. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 24, if any man will come after me, well, he has to give up his own identity. Let him deny himself. You have to give up your own identity. You are not doing things for yourself anymore. You are not in your comfort zone, trying to save your life and all of that. No. You know, you are doing what the master wants. In the kingdom, The king says, and the citizens comply. No argument. That's what the king requires. The king brings his influence on the territory, asserts his will upon the people. It's not a democracy. Nobody is voting. You don't need to go to the polls and count all the votes and say yay or nay. No. The king asserts his authority, his influence, his culture, whatever he wants. This is the way I want my territory to be. Well, his cabinet will go out and carry it out. So that's it. What he requires of his citizens is surrender and obedience. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. He told them in the wilderness, in the Old Testament. Well, Jesus said the same thing in the New Testament. If you love me, keep my commandments. The same thing as obey my voice. Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. And if you do, and there is a blessing, many blessings, actually, keep my commandments. Now, keep means you already had the commandment delivered unto you. It came to you in the form of the constitution for the kingdom, which is this Bible. This Bible is the constitution for our kingdom. But you must keep, guard, safeguard it, do it and safeguard it. That's right. That means also teach it to your, make sure it doesn't disappear. People don't forget about it. Teach it to your children. Speak it. Deuteronomy 11. When you're sitting in the house, you speak it to them. When you're in the sideway or dinner or whatever, right upon the doorpost of your house and all this, keep means also protect and preserve. Protect it, defend, say I'm set for the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Well, protect it, defend it, and make sure people don't forget about it. Pass it on to the next generation, and then there after that, and so on and so forth. So Jesus said that, that's what the citizens are expected to do. So that's what he requires from his followers. And he has some promises too for his followers. The next question is then, what will the king give to those who surrender in that manner to him? Well, guess what? Matthew chapter 19 verse 29 says, everyone that has left all these things and so forth and surrendered to the king, what did the king say they would get? Well, let's read it. There was a question somewhere here where Jesus was telling them, certain things. And Peter said, well, but we have forsaken everything and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? That was a direct question. If you tell us, you're telling us to forsake everything, deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow you, and so on. Okay, fine. When we do that, though, what do we get? This Peter always, like that. All of them were thinking it, but Peter was the one who was bold enough to ask it. And Jesus said, well, this is it. Verily I say unto you, I'm telling you the truth. that ye which have followed me, right? In the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on his throne, and that's the end phase for one thing. He has now got his throne. He's sitting down there. and he was telling them, giving them an insight. They didn't know about this. He just dropped it. Well, you also will sit on 12 thrones. Everyone that's forsaken homes, brethren, sisters, and all these things, wife, children, and so forth. They've chosen me above all everything else. Well, guess what? In this world, they shall receive 100-fold. Do you know that now I have many more brothers and sisters than I have, or I had in my natural family? There was only five, I had four siblings. There was only five of us. I mean, look at all the people I have now. All the wonderful brothers and sisters I have, not only on this platform, everywhere. You know, I've received already more than 100-fold, actually. You know, and then on top of that, icing on the cake, if you want to call it that, you know, inherit everlasting life. This is what he promises to his followers. That's what the king said, you know. And so you say, well, what shall we have? Well, this is what you have. And there are many promises that he gives, the benefits that he gives to citizens of the kingdom. Like, just like citizens, we talked about that in this message of citizenship and ambassadorship. Citizens have benefits. The foreigners may not have those benefits, but the citizens have certain benefits. You know, that you may know the things that are freely given unto us. The scripture says God has given us all things that pertain to life and benefit. And life giving us these things. What things has he given to us? Well, he has given us all things. Now, I want you to think about all. What does all mean? 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. You know, God power has already given believers everything, you know, according as the divine power has given unto us all things. That's what he gives to his citizens that pertain to life and godliness. Well, guess what though? You need knowledge to know about those things. You know, I noticed that even here in the United States where I live, not all the benefits are widely known by everybody. Some things you have to figure out, even though it's your benefit as a citizen. Some things that people know, but not everything. But it's there. How do you get all these things that he has given to us? Say, through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue. Knowledge is so key. You know, knowledge is power. People talk about that. And in spiritual circles, it's the same thing. Knowledge is also power, you know. And without knowledge, my people perish. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. They languish, they are destroyed. The devil pulled the wool over their eyes when they don't have knowledge. You have to have knowledge. Knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. That knowledge about him, the king. That's why, first of all, we talk about the king first. Before we even talk about anything else. We talk about the king. And we talk about his kingdom. Then we talk about his people. You know, so, but you got to know him. You know, when you know him, then you will know, then you will discover who you are in him. And through the knowledge of him who has called us. You know, if you don't have knowledge, there have been many things that the devil would cheat you out of. You know, so we got to have that knowledge. Praise the Lord. So that's, you know, those are the things that God, what does the king promise to those who surrender? Everything. Everything. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 verse 21, those who overcome, these are his citizens that stay true to the end, I will give them the right to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am granted to sit with my Father in his throne. Furthermore, Revelation 21 and 7. This is it. You will inherit all things. Now, Jesus is the one that got all things. I told you that yesterday. The book of Revelation chapter 5. The title deed to all things. Nobody else could get it. John was weeping, and he was told that, don't worry, that some, we found somebody that got it. Who that somebody was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But how did he get it? By being bloodied up. It was a bloody lamb. That's how he got it. But he got it. But he promised to give it to his followers. Yeah, he that overcometh with me, just like I overcame, they will sit with me in my throne, just like I am sitting with my Father in his throne. And in Revelation 21:7, they shall inherit all things. Glory to God. That's it. God said to Abraham, you know, there's a way that God said this thing to Abraham in the beginning. And if Abraham would have understood it, I've preached on this many times, you know, although 25 years of waiting, he probably would have needed it, you know. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision saying, you know, Genesis 15:1, fear not, you know, be afraid of all any whatever going on around you. I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. Now, when God gives you himself, you got everything. Because God's got everything. Now, if God got everything and you got God, then you got everything that God's got. That's it. You know, all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's what he promises to his followers. Isn't that beautiful? All right. The next question is question number 9. How does the king relate unto his citizens? I've kind of covered this when I was covering, you know, what authority does he have? Well, the way he relates, you know, that's taken out of the message called citizenship and ambassadorship. There's the backing of full coverage, protection of the kingdom. The ambassador gets it. Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. Go therefore in my name and do these things. You know, he gave like power of attorney. I've got the power and I'm conferring on you the right to use that power. That's right. You know, it's Jesus' power. Yeah. It's a song we used to say, Jesus' power, wonder power. There is power. Jesus said, I got it. But I'm conferring on you the authority to use that power. Yeah, that's right. And that's what it means by in my name. That's you're using the power. Now, that's how it relates to his citizens. Behold, I give you power over all the power that we I got the power and I give you the same power. Well, we got to figure out how to really use that power. Because sometimes it doesn't look like we have power over all the power of the enemy. And the devil will make sure we don't know it. And the devil will make sure that whatever is the secret that will give us that knowledge and that victory and advantage over him, he will keep it from us. Because he doesn't want us to have that advantage. And it starts by putting a little leaven inside the bread of life. The bread of life is where the real power is at. Devil will mix it up a little bit. Once he mixes it up a little bit, he knows the power is gone. You know, so to the law and the testimony, always make sure everything you hear, Jesus said, take heed how you hear. Everything you hear better be in alignment with the word of God. Otherwise, it's already poisoned. And once it is poisoned, it is weakened like that. But that's how Jesus relates to his citizens. Give them power. Hallelujah. Now, question number 10 on this series of the king. What will the king ultimately accomplish? What is it? What was his purpose? We've kind of covered it already. When Jesus was standing before Pilate, he said, well, in John chapter 18, when he said, look, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my citizens would fight. And Pilate said, oh, are you saying then that you are a king? Because you are saying my kingdom? And Jesus said, well, with your mouth, you just said it. Yeah, you know, he said, he said one thing, profound statement. He said, look, for this purpose I was born. I'm talking about being a king. For this purpose I was born. And I came to bear witness of the truth. Pilate said, what is the truth? You can't handle the truth. That's right. You know, what is the truth? Well, Pilate, he could not handle the truth. But Jesus declared the truth. In fact, he told his disciples, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, it's not just that the truth is about me. No, I am the very truth. That's the difference. You know, it's not just being about him. He is it. And Jesus is the king. Jesus is, in a way, even the kingdom. Jesus is the very truth. Jesus is the very gospel, everything. You might say it's about him, but he is the very core of the thing. You know, so that's it. How, you know, he testified this thing before Pilate was so powerful. And let's read it again as we conclude this section on the king. In John chapter 18, you know, Jesus was asked this question by Pilate. Art thou king of the Jews? He asked him. You can read that in John chapter 18 and verse 33. So Jesus, I love it. Jesus loved to answer question with question. Now, not his disciples, though. When the disciple asks him question, he'll tell him. But when the Jews or anybody else, you know, ask him question, he'll ask them a question back. So he said, well, are you asking this question by yourself? Or did others tell you this concerning me? Because Pilate said, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, well, are you asking me this question by your own self? Or did somebody say this about me? And Pilate said, look, I'm not a Jew. I don't care about your stuff, your traditions and so on. I only care about Caesar. So he said, look, it is your own people and your own chief priests of your tradition and your culture and all this stuff. They are the ones that brought you unto me. You know, I'm here minding my own business. So, but what have you done? Why did they bring you to me? Jesus said, look, you know, he just ignored all that and went back to this question about king. You know, he ignored the question about what have you done. He just went back to the question of king. Said, look, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the hands of the Jews. But now it's my kingdom, not from hence. So hold on now. Are you saying, because look, it was treason, punishable by death for anybody. That's why Herod was trying to kill all the babies when they said, we found a baby that's going to be king. He said, no king but Caesar. Kill them all. You know. Now, he said, wow. You know. He said, are thou a king then? Because I asked you before that you're king of the Jews. Tell me all this stuff. Are you a king then still? Tell me. And Jesus said, with your own mouth. Because Jesus knew the man was trying to trip him. He said, you are the one saying that I'm a king. You. Is it that you or somebody else told you about me? You know, but I'll tell you something. For this purpose was I born. Hallelujah. To this end was I born, to be the king. You talk about end. Well, that's it right there. That's the end. To be the king and gain back the kingdom. This was the purpose for which I was born. I've been born as a baby and all of these things. Take many years to get here, 30-something years. But this was the purpose. Glory to God. This is why it's important for us who are believers. You got to understand the message of the kingdom beyond the cross. You got to understand it. It's not sacrilegious to say it like that. It's just because that's the way we've been taught over the years. You know, no, that's not it. Jesus went through the cross for a purpose. But that purpose is to get that kingdom and get the citizens of that kingdom. The citizens themselves, they needed the death of Christ. They couldn't do it without it. Even, what's his name? Moses and Elijah. They even needed the death of Christ. Otherwise, they could not be raised from the dead. They knew it. When they came in Matthew chapter 17, I was discussing with Jesus, they were discussing about his death, which you should suffer. Why should they care about his death? You know, because they are depending on his resurrection. That's right. Resurrection of Christ guarantee. They knew. Two witnesses. They've been around for a long time over there. God's already shown them what they will suffer for his name's sake. Again, they come down again. Revelation 11. They knew it. And so they were telling Jesus, discussing, we know something. How you do it? How you come out of that grave? Because they knew that they will be killed. See? And they themselves will be there for like 3 days or so on. Then come out of that. The whole world will see it on satellite TV and all that. You know, say, wow. You know, Jesus was telling them something, some secrets. Well, we're not told what he told them, but we're told what they were asking him. They were discussing with him his disease, which he should suffer in Jerusalem. They were curious about it. Well, you know, Jesus said, to this end was I born, you know, and this is the reason why I came into the world. What is the reason why Jesus came to the world? Listen to what he said here. What's the reason? Did he say the reason I came to the world was in this particular place? You have to put all the scriptures together. But in this particular place, he was saying the reason I came, see, was for this purpose. He's talking about the king and kingdom. You know, and look, and I'm here to bear witness to the truth. Of course, you know, Pilate, and Jesus said, look, everyone that is of the truth will hear my voice. But Pilate said, look, this stuff about truth, what is the truth? And he walked away. He didn't even stay around to hear it. You know, so, and you know, Jesus wouldn't have told him anything anyway. He would say, look, I already told you guys, but you didn't believe. You know, so. But I'm here to bear witness to the truth. And this is the purpose why I came into this world. You know, to be born, to be the king, and to get the kingdom. Praise God. And we who are his church that he called out, gave us the grace to be born again into the kingdom. We're the agents are going to make sure that that happens. That's right. You know, so we'll talk about that when we get to the lesson about the church. So I'm going to wrap it up here about the king. Next, we'll be talking about his kingdom. And then we're going to talk about the church, which is the agency of that kingdom to bring in that everlasting righteousness. Now, the way I'm approaching this review, it's like additional lessons in itself, but just asking questions on some key points that we heard and should remember out of those lessons, and then giving us some answers, and in some cases, some additional scriptures to help us be equipped to know these things, you know. Now, we're told that you must be ready always to have a reason and an answer for what they ask you, why, you know. ask you why, ask me why, ask me why. Somebody was asking me one day, you know, ask you why. You must have a reason to know, I mean, to be able to explain the hope that you have, explain the things you believe. You know, don't just believe something that you can't explain. How are you going to explain to somebody else? You have to be able to, you know, the other day I was telling you how Apollos, through the scriptures, was able to mightily convince the Jews that this Jesus was the Christ. He did it through the scriptures. That's how you do it. So it's important for us, you know, that we know the scriptures, you know, so we must be able, first of all, to assure ourselves of the things that we know, and then to be able to share these things to others who will in turn share it to others as well. You know, so that's what Paul told Timothy. He said, the things that you have learned of me, that you share them to faithful people. You know, don't put your pearls before swine, you know, and so forth. So you share them to faithful people that will cherish these things. And then you, when you share it to them, they share it to someone else, and on and on. And you can find that scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. The things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, both which I told you and which others said about what, you know, things I'm teaching, well, the same you must commit to faithful men who shall also be able to teach others. This is the principle that Jesus followed when he came and was preaching the kingdom. He did not try to go for 2,000, 5,000, 10,000 people. He selected only a dozen, of whom even one was going to betray him. He put him there for a reason. So he just had a handful of people. That's the pattern. Teach this handful of people what they need to know, and let them teach others also, and so on and so forth. And even Jesus in his prayer pray that for the, in John 17, saying, I pray for them that you should keep them from the evil. Don't take them from the world, but keep them from the evil. But I pray not for these ones alone, but for all the others that will hear about me through them. You know, so he prayed for them, but he also prayed for those who heard about him through them. That's down through it. That includes you and me. So that's the pattern. We learn it. We know how to defend it. We know how to even teach it. And then we teach it. We must learn it, do it. You know, in other words, embrace it and then know how to teach it. Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 said, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it. Okay, so let's prepare our hearts to seek these things and to know them and to do them. And then following, he said, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So, you know it, you do it, but you also teach it. This is it. You can't just know it and keep it to yourself. No. Jesus himself, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. This is how Luke reported the ministry of Jesus. And he was summarizing it to this so-called Theophilus. He said, well, you know, I told you about the things that I wrote in the gospel, that former treatise, which is what I wrote before, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So that's how we do it. You know, we learn it, we embrace it ourselves, and then we teach it. So it is important for us to learn and understand the message of the kingdom. It's important for us to embrace it. If you don't understand it, ask questions, because it's important. You know, and don't take just my word for it. after you've heard the lessons that I share, you go and research it on your own to see whether these things are so. And this is what the Bereans did. I told that they were noble. In fact, they listened to the word. They received it as it were, the word of God and not the word of man. But then they went and searched the scriptures to see whether those things were so. So I invite everybody, search out these things and see whether what I'm telling you is the truth. Search them out. But when you do, though, you know, you cannot put new wine in old wineskins. That's why we debunk some things, you know, because our culture and the traditions of the, you know, the church culture that we've learned for years sometimes doesn't go far enough or doesn't even teach us this. Now, sometimes even contrary. But that's how we grew up. That's what we know. That's what we've learned. So really, when you get this new stuff, you say, well, what's this all about? Well, search it out. If it is according to the light, then stick to it. If it is not, then dump it. It's that simple. Not because I'm the one that preach it. No. That's the principle. Isaiah 8:20. You know, he said, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak, whoever is speaking to you, you know, they don't speak according to this word that is in the law and the testimony, then there's no light in it. So get away. You don't want to be a part of darkness. Get away from it. But if it is light, then hold on to it. Because as it is written, it said, prove all things. And, you know, you grab on to that which is the truth. The one that is not good, well, you get rid of it. So that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Now, if you prove this message, and if you can't disprove it, then pray that God should reveal it to you. Because just like Jesus said, I can say to you also, verily, verily, this is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. This is the reason why Jesus came. And we who have believed in him, who have entered into this kingdom through the new birth, God is now teaching us the truths. Jesus said, unto you is given to know these things. It's not given to everybody, but it's given unto you to know. And when you know, when you're privileged to know, you bring in some people and you also share. Praise the Lord. That's what, by the grace of God, we are doing. Well, that's it. That's our lesson for today. God bless everybody for listening. You know, I'm going to pray over the room and end it. Remember, this review series that I'm doing, I haven't finished it yet. Yesterday was part one of the review of the three-part series on the kingdom. And I'm doing it in three parts as well. First part is about the king. And I have some questions that I provide some answers, which will give you, cover the key points throughout those lessons. References from any one of those lessons, and also scripture references and so on. Then we'll, section two, we'll talk about the kingdom. But the king without the kingdom is no king at all. So neither is a kingdom without a king any kingdom. And so there are citizens of the kingdom as well. So now that we have talked about the king, asking questions that came out of the lesson and then providing answers, then we'll go on to talk about the kingdom. And then we'll do the same thing. We'll ask a bunch of questions, provide some answers and some scriptures that bring out the key points that we'll cover in those series. I'm doing it this way. I didn't always do it this way before, but the Holy Spirit gave me instruction to do it this way this time around. Before, I would just say, let me ask questions and you guys provide the answers. this time around, I'm doing it this way because that's how the Holy Spirit showed me a few days ago how to do it. Now, and then after that, we'll cover the church, the significance and the role of the church. But we're all part of the church, the universal church, the global church. So we need to know, where do we fit in all this? Praise the Lord. Questions and answers to cover the kingdom reviews, or the review of the kingdom series, talking about the king, the kingdom, and the church. Father, I thank you. I give you praise. I give you glory. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thine is the power, and thine is the glory. For all that in the heaven and in the earth is thine, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, O Lord. And in thy hand, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power. In thy hand it is power. And to make great and to give strength unto all. It's in your hand. To heal, to save, to deliver, to give understanding, to give revelation. It's in your hand. Now therefore, O Lord our God, we thank you. And we praise your glorious name. And we exalt the King. Exalt him who is the King of heaven. And is also King in my heart. Reign, Master Jesus. Reign in my life. Even as thy word is forever settled in heaven, let it be settled in my heart also. Jesus said, thy kingdom come. Thy will that's already done in heaven, let it be done in the earth as well. So let it be. And Lord, we thank you for please you to choose us as the agency. Yeah. Carrying out the instruction in righteousness. We are that church. And we are that agency that will bring it to pass. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. Give you, Lord, all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.